Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, October the 30th, 2025. 10:30:25, last Thursday in the month of October. Halloween Eve is what it is. Halloween tomorrow, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. And we greet you with some, I guess we would say, breaking local news this morning. Now, I want to go back and take you through some of this because I think it's important to go back and recap for people who maybe have not followed this whole thing. On Monday, Mayor Collins announced that on Tuesday, he would be sending a letter to the Auditor of State's office. Now, this is the letter. I want to read this again. Dear Mr. Thompson, dated October 28, 2025, due to inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30, 2025, the inaccuracies being the result of the ongoing failure to properly complete the very important process of reconciliation, the true and accurate bank-to-book balances remain uncertain. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. As a result, the City of Marion would like to formally request a fiscal caution analysis and projection. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Please feel free to contact us if I can be of any further assistance in this matter. Sincerely, welcome, Bill Collins, Mayor of the City of Marion. Now, that went out on Tuesday. Now, this could land the City of Marion in fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. We don't know yet. According to what all of these things mean, we probably are in fiscal caution. Will we be in fiscal watch? I don't know. Will that lead to fiscal emergency? I don't know. And as we've talked about the last few days, do we know what funds are in deficit balances in the City of Marion? We don't know. And this all comes about on Tuesday. Well, Jason Schauber was on Wednesday, Third Ward City Councilman, and he said he had it on good authority that two long-term directors in the City of Marion in the last month had either retired or resigned their positions. And there was no fanfare, no big announcement, no going away party, but that had happened. So that left everybody a little suspicious. Well, WGH Radio obtained yesterday this letter of resignation from Marion Area Transit, dated October the 28th, 2025. Dear Transit employees, I regretfully inform you that I am resigning my position as Transit Administrator effective immediately. I loved working here and did my best to improve transit for everyone. I will truly miss you all and wish you the best of luck in keeping transit rolling. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to call or text me, and then a number is left. We've blocked out the number. Sincerely, Julie Welch, Director of Transit, former Director of Transit. Now, the date on this letter is important, October 28th, 2025. That's the same date on the letter that Mayor Collins sent to the Auditor of State, Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. And at this point, we don't know who the Director of Transit is. We don't know if that replacement has come. As many of you know, Julie Welch was there when the Night Moves bus was introduced and implemented by Mayor Collins and his administration. We still don't know what the financial cost of that was or has been to the city, as I believe it continues to operate. And now she is no longer in that position as of Tuesday, and she resigned effective immediately. No 2 weeks' notice, apparently. Now, why is this all happening? What is going on that is causing all of these things to happen in the same week? Now, I have also learned from sources at City Hall that Casey Courtwright, the former budget director, has been seen many times, several times a week at City Hall, and many times in the office of the new budget director, Chelsea Troiano. Now, is she training her? Is she helping her? I don't know. Is that allowed? Is that okay? Is she just coming for lunch? But there are sources at City Hall that have said they have seen her there 2 to 3 times a week. Now, why is this all going on? What's going on in the city? That's all I can tell you at this point. I can't confirm that the two other directors are gone, but maybe Jason Schauber could. 740-383-9944. I don't know if he's listening out there or not. Go ahead, caller.
Scott.
Yes.
Do you think that Ridgedale knows that their treasurer is coming in to see our budget director for lunch?
You know, I don't know. I am not sure if that's on the level. When did she leave? July?
It was beginning of August. It was the effect of the beginning of August.
Beginning of August. So she's been gone for nearly 3 months.
Something like that.
Yeah. Now, what I heard, and again, this is the gossip portion of the program. What I heard from...
Because I've got some too.
What I heard from the people at City Hall, my sources at City Hall, is that Casey has been seen there 2 to 3 times a week since she left. And
now,
she,
I didn't hear how many times, but I've heard that she's been there.
And that she has been seen in the office with Chelsea Troiano, her replacement.
Do you think she's doing that for free?
I don't know.
That would be very kind of her, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be very kind of her, and it also would explain how Chelsea was able to pick up so quickly on this job and have these answers ready for somebody
what
in a new position.
What answers has she had ready?
Well, I don't think she's made any big missteps in city council meetings.
No, I don't think she has either, but I don't think she's really been put on the spot either, has she?
Not a big spot, but I think, you know...
She's not allowed to send her own email responses. They have to be ran through Mark Russell before her email responses go out.
Yeah, I still don't understand that one.
That's them running interference. So she doesn't say something she's not supposed to.
But interference for what? Just because she's not supposed to... Well, see, you know, you would
that
think...
That would say that she's unable to send her own emails regarding the subject matter.
Well, you would think with all these people involved, apparently she's got Casey's contact information. I mean, she's the mayor's budget director. None of these people have a grip on any of this?
Apparently we don't, if we're asking the state of Ohio to put us in some sort of fiscal distress. And as far as your watch, caution, or emergency go, I agree with Schauber. We're past caution. He said for unreconciled books, that is a reason. But more than 2 negative fund balances will put us into fiscal caution. It'll take us past caution and put us immediately into watch. There's step 1, step 2, step 3. We're going to skip step 1 and go right to step 2.
And what are the fund balances? Because people should know that.
Well, we know transit is negative. I sent you that email yesterday.
We do know that transit is negative. But what's interesting there is, I mean, I find it fascinating. When I had heard the rumors that Julie had left, I wanted to make sure that we had the resignation letter.
Okay, I knew you would get it faster than me. That's the reason why I told you.
Yeah.
I knew they would not give me that letter, so that's why I told you.
Well, the resignation letter is interesting to me for a couple reasons.
To your employees?
Well, it was to the employees, and it was effective immediately. I mean, usually you don't leave a position like that immediately.
What about good luck?
Good luck, but also the same date as the day the letter sent the auditor of state his declaration. So,
well, I'm thinking there's a five-figure savings right there.
Well, I don't know. It's just, that's very strange.
And for all the money that we paid her for transit, to direct transit, other than expanding transit, which we could not afford, what did she do for us?
Well, and you've also got Jason Schaber on Tuesday, who said he believes two other directors, long-term directors, have resigned. Yeah, in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Abruptly.
Right. And nobody has said anything about
that. I'm not going to drop any names simply because I don't know, but the rumor is, okay, well, let's just say the day that they were abruptly retired, because they were eligible for retirement, the day that they abruptly retired was very shortly after the man was indicted for the massage parlor out in Cervix Center.
Oh, yeah.
So, now, the rumor, this is just rumor. I cannot prove it, and that's why I'm not giving any names. The rumor is that they were customers there, and that King Welcome could not have that in his kingdom.
Well, here's the thing.
That's why there was no cakes.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's also
that's
a
rumor.
Lot. Well, there's also speculation and rumor that if you get rid of three directors, which now has happened, three potentially are gone here, that you would have money to fund your economic
savings.
You would have money to fund your economic development position.
I don't think the state of Ohio is going to see that as essential.
Well, it depends on how. I mean, the third reading's coming. And are they going to have their audit done by that time? I don't know.
November 10th is when the audit is going to be released. But what they're doing right now is putting together the corrective action plan. I gleaned this just by listening. And that's when they kept saying, oh, we're not supposed to be talking about this. We're not supposed to whatever. They're putting together a plan proposal to the state of Ohio saying, this is how we're going to get ourselves out of trouble. So that's already being worked on. We don't have an option. The state of Ohio wants that from us. And
well,
I also tend to agree with Schaber that we didn't have the option to do this. We were just given, make it look like it was our choice instead of the state of Ohio telling us that they were doing this.
Well, is that why these people are all going by the wayside? I mean, do you think they just all wanted to leave their positions?
I think two of them were Cervix Center frequent flyers, and I don't know about the third. I mean, Welch would strictly be speculation, but the same day, I mean, transit's that much in the hole, they might, I'm not saying they're shutting transit down, but they might be looking to trim the fat, and as I said, other than signing time cards, I'm not exactly sure, and going to meetings, I'm not sure what she did.
Well, I don't know. I think it's very interesting that it's the same day.
Oh, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
That's why I wanted to see the resignation letter, because when it's the same day and it's immediate, I don't know if that's coincidence.
She hasn't been at council meetings lately, if you've noticed.
No, it's been a while. And there never were numbers provided for this Night Moves bus, which still operates.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told is down to $2 now, fare-wise. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on there. And you know,
if we're looking to trim the fat, wouldn't you just put a stop to that immediately?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know who is making the decisions. Certainly not her anymore.
Well, ultimately, it would be Bodine or the mayor, wouldn't it?
Well,
I mean, she didn't just single-handedly decide to do Night Moves. I mean, she didn't start an entire nighttime route without permission of someone above her.
No, but you know what's puzzling about all this is, okay, if you are losing money, if you know
there's
that
no
that
if.
Right, but if you are, why keep doing it? Why keep doing it? I mean, it's been
because
over
it's
a year.
It's going to work. We are just too stupid to catch on to their good ideas. And if us peasants would just listen to what they have to say, then things would be much, much better. But since we didn't listen to what they had to say, and we didn't buy in, and we didn't love our city hard enough, now we're bankrupt. We're close to it. Who knows? Hey, I told somebody this morning, and this also goes back to Jason Schaber, I just need him to pick up my garbage, because that's about all they do for me now anyway.
So, well, you know, I
play place is on fire, though.
Well, it's an interesting time. There's no doubt about that. There's been a feeling for 2 years, and we've covered a lot of stories and spent a lot of times on the bus routes and resignations and things of that nature and parties in the park and new positions being created and all the things that have happened. And people just kind of let it go and let it go and let it go.
I didn't. I've been yelling for a year. I've been called names. I've been yelled at. I've been hated on. I've been everything else. I've been predicting this for over a year. I hate to say I'm right because of what I'm right about, but I've been right for a long time.
Right, but these council people, I mean, what...
They're still oblivious to it.
I don't know how they could be.
Well, I mean, but they had sat through the same... When they went up there for candidates night, I don't know what day was that. But
Tuesday.
The 10th and the 23rd, they had meetings with the auditor of the state of Ohio. So anyone that was on city council knew the financial situation. And they still sit up there and vote on all this stuff that they're voting to pass. So since October 23rd, everyone in the city of Marion administration and city council has met with the state of Ohio. They've known what's been going on. You know, so this isn't a surprise to them, but they're still like, we need to come up with money for Charter City for this, and we'll just have to pay for it. We'll just have to absorb it. We'll just have to, and they've known for weeks.
That's a whole nother thing. We're less than a week away from Election Day. Uh-huh. Why at this point would anybody be arguing for a charter city with the city in the shape it's in?
And here's the thing. Here's my last plug against it. If we vote for this, because a couple people have messaged me, well, what if we don't have the money? I was like, there is no if. If we pass this, we will have to cut money. We will have to make cuts, which I've also been saying. We will have to cut somewhere. We will have to decide as a city what we want to make cuts in so we can pay for our charter commission.
Well, here's the thing. Plain and simple with the charter city, it is going to cost money because you've got to retain council and you do have to do the mailing of the charter.
So 80 grand.
Right. Okay.
Fair number.
Right. But you have no transit director as of this morning, of Tuesday morning. You two other departments, you have no directors
and
at this point.
And that will almost cover the negative line item of the transit. And
you
we
have
know
a,
there's other negative
you
line
have,
items because Collins said it in his letter.
That's right. You have a letter from Mayor Collins saying that there are deficit balances that could be significant. Now, how in the world, even if you wanted a charter city, how could you argue in good faith at this point that the city could afford this? How could you do that?
Okay. What did all the candidates and the city council candidates and the charter member candidates say? The general fund will just have to pay for it. And that's the city's main checking account, if anybody's wondering. We'll just have to pay for it. That's what they said. We'll just have to pay for it. That's been their solution to everything. We'll just have to pay for it.
Yeah, but is the fault of who? I mean, this is the fault, because the problem is, I don't really care whose fault it is, but that's where these stories all end up. They all end up in 30-year conundrums, and they end up with previous administrations, and that's what comes of these stories. Now,
I said this morning, though, and I lay some blame at the state of Ohio, the feet of the state of Ohio, because they should not have allowed us to go unaudited for this long. They should have stepped in and done something when we were at year two, year three. They should not have waited for us to get this bad off, and they've known that we're in bad shape.
Well, I believe that the reason, as long as we had positive balances and the bills were getting paid, I don't think they ever would have stepped in. And things were being done to try to correct this. That's the part that people
probably
always leave.
Probably through $4 million worth of investment in Collins for 2 years as mayor. $4 million.
Right,
we don't have a way to replace that money.
Right, but I'll tell you, when the city is spending money like that, regardless, if the books were completely balanced and we have been spending money like we've been spending it...
We couldn't afford it. No, you're right. If we knew 100% of the money that we had, we wouldn't afford to spend $4 million.
So I'm starting to wonder if the auditor and the treasurer are the problem here. Because
they're not the only problem.
No.
They're a piece of the problem.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that they are balancing the books, but what I am saying is that How in the world could you spend...
The money goes out faster than they can balance it?
Well, I don't even know how you could spend this type of money in 2 years with knowing that the books are not balanced. I don't know how that could happen.
I'm going to go back to Bodine had been in office, had his job for less than 3 weeks, and he was swiping a credit card for $25,000 down payment on $50,000 worth of stickers. That was in his first couple weeks.
Well, I will say this. I'll say this. The auditor does not vote on programs for the city.
No.
So the fact.
So
and neither does the treasurer.
Right.
So the idea in this letter that funds appear to have deficit balances, which if accurate,
spending and approving the money.
Right, but that's city council and that's your mayor.
But you know what? The auditor also has a legal obligation as an elected official to step in and say, "Hey, we've overspent, so you can appropriate all you want, but there's no more money left." And that's what she's not been doing.
Well, no, because I'm not sure that she knows how much money is there, but apparently somebody does.
I mean, they appropriate. So what they do when they appropriate, let's say, okay, we appropriate $50,000 for streets. They go into their little computer system and say the streets department has $50,000. Now, every time they write an expense out of the streets department, in theory, that number is supposed to go down. So now when I've got $1,000 left and I want to spend $1,500, the auditor is supposed to come and say, "Hey, you've only got $1,000 left. You can't spend $1,500.
Right, but what would have happened?
That's what the auditor is supposed to do.
Right, but what would have happened? Do you think these programs just wouldn't have happened? The party in the park wouldn't have happened? The positions
would... Well, if she didn't cut the check, it wouldn't have.
Well... I don't know.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
Listen, there is no way. There is no way. No way. You've got 9 city council people. You've got a service director. You've got a budget director. You've got a mayor. They might not have known the exact penny, but they certainly knew the city did not have this kind of money as they voted continuously to fund these things.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to lay that on the auditor?
No, I'm not.
No, but
I'm saying she could have said, these funds are negative. These accounts are negative. There is no money left.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And then that was supposed to be Tacey Courtright's job then. If the auditor didn't do it, that was supposed to be Tacey Courtright's job. But Tacey Courtright apparently didn't do it either, because when I was being screamed at last year for asking about party bus and how much money it was costing, where the money was costing, Colin stood up and yelled, "That's why I have a budget director."
Well,
the budget director's known that transit's been off for 3 years by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If the financial committee, which seems to be so up in arms about the auditor's office and the treasurer learning some training, if they are not apoplectic Monday about the mayor's letter, and if they are not asking in public what funds are negative, if
Rollins and Twyla were right in there, $10,000 for the party. Rollins was part of the planning commission, was up there thanking the city for contribution and everything. Yeah, so that's why I'm not even sure I'm gonna vote for him, because he's been part of the reckless spending.
And by the way, food card goes away in about 48 hours, the city of Columbus, I believe, has given a lot of money to food banks. Are we going to dump $10,000 in our food banks in Marion? Because we did for a party.
We don't have it.
Well, there you go.
It's sad.
That's the story of the city.
Take care, Scott.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And again, the point here is that there's nothing wrong with wanting to do good things. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a party. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have night service for a bus. There's nothing wrong with wanting new positions in city government. But do you have the money? Do you have the money to pay for it? And if you think your auditor and your treasurer are so bad, why do you keep approving that over and over and over? Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
There you go.
I'm apoplectic, man. Help me.
Well, you know what? If that financial committee is not for as apoplectic as they've been about some things the treasurer and the auditor have done, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I I still stand behind what I said with Schauber. If he can get those people who resigned abruptly, I'll be happy to buy a cake to celebrate their retirement. And for the situation with the what was going on at the Cervex Center?
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Well, they were running an illegal operation over there.
Who's they?
You know, I don't remember the story exactly, but it was a very I don't know. The man's been indicted. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I believe he's headed off.
Headed off. Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, to help them in their sticky situation, I would be happy to donate one case of baby oil from Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Well, you got to add the transit director to this going away party because she's gone as of Tuesday.
So the transit director and then who else?
I'm not going to say the other two people's names.
What were the departments?
I'm not going to say it.
I thought, well, then how do you know they're gone?
That's what Jason said. I never said that. I said that's Jason's assumption.
So, well, if they can wrangle them, get them all together, I'll get a big cake for all three of them, and we'll celebrate their departure. And hopefully everybody will have a happy ending.
Thank you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 43 minutes past the hour. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind this morning. Certainly interesting times here on this Halloween Eve, 2025. And again, you just look back at this stuff and you say, why did it happen? But as I always say, you can go back and listen to the tapes of what we've done here. The question always being asked is, where is the money coming from? Does the city have this kind of money to be spending on things? As I have said and will continue to say, doing things that are fun and nice are not bad things. But you probably should know if you have the money for those things or not, and not get so defensive when people are asking if you have the money for those things. And did the mayor know that the transit director was on her way out the door? I mean, that was the day after the city council meeting on Monday. She resigned on Tuesday, or submitted her resignation letter on Tuesday, the 28th, the same day that the letter went down to the auditor of state to check out our finances. You know, a lot of strange coincidences here. But the phone lines are open. If anybody's got anything to say on any of this, feel free to weigh in. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
I just want to reiterate, and then I'm going to be done. In her farewell letter, as in, so long, see ya, she says, good luck keeping things rolling. Think that's interesting.
Good luck keeping things rolling.
Good luck.
Good
bye,
luck.
Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, that's the story this morning. Transit Director Julie Welch resigns Tuesday. This past Tuesday, the same day the letter went to the auditor of state from the mayor. And by the way, if anybody's listening from the administration or any city council person is listening, straighten us out on all of this. Because, you know, I keep hearing it's old administrations, it's stuff that happened years ago. Well, okay, straighten me out on all of this. Because I think communication has continually been a problem here in a lot of these situations that we have not fixed as of yet. So the phone lines remain open because we like communication here. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. It certainly is interesting times in the city of Marion. Now, I guess slogans are good, and t-shirts, and stickers, and bus wraps, and all of that, and Strongest Town. You know, the thing about the Strongest Town thing was it was a feel-good moment. And to anybody's knowledge, it wasn't costing anything. And I don't know that it did cost anything, the actual competition. But the aftermath certainly did cost something. And, you know, I wonder if the budget director ever stands up and says, you know, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think that this money should be spent. I don't know if that ever happens. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Does anybody have anything to say this morning? 740-383-9944. 47 minutes past the hour on this rainy, dark Halloween Eve, October 30th, 2025. Election Day, less than a week away. Now, how's that all going to go? How's Election Day going to go? Is this going to have any impact on Election Day? Is this going to have any impact on Charter City, that vote? Is this going to have any impact on the 6th Ward race or the at-large race? I don't know. I truly don't know. But I there are a lot of city council people out there. There's a mayor out there. Maybe Julie Welch is out there listening. I know at one point she listened to the show. If you listen, call in. Explain all of this to us. What happened? How did we get to this? Maybe she just got a better job. I don't know. But timing looks bad. And that's why when somebody doesn't come on and explain what's going on, we have conversations like these. Now, if somebody's got a good answer as to what happened to these other two directors for the city that are rumored to have resigned in the last month, or why Julie down at Transit resigned effective immediately on Tuesday, if somebody's got good answers to this stuff, I don't think anybody'd have a problem. But for this all to come to be in the same week that the mayor sends a letter to the auditor of the state saying that we're in a big financial mess here, well, that's something to take note of. We've got about 10 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I'll tell you, if anybody, seriously, if anybody's out there listening who's a part of any of this, city council, any of it, or any citizens want to weigh in on this, now would be the time to do it. This is where we are. Now, of course, we would like to talk about positive things, and positive things are good, but, you know, it seems as if things are in a pickle right now, and possibly worse than they have been. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, those people that resign are probably going to be used as scapegoats and things blamed on them.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened with the other two departments, and I don't know why Julie Welch would be out effective immediately on the same day that the mayor sent the letter to the auditor of state.
Well, they probably didn't want to deal with the state people coming in, you know.
Well, if there is a huge loss in transit, if transit is really in trouble, and people have...
That's not her fault.
Well, but if people have been jumping up and down about this night bus and saying, it's not working, it's costing money, we need to stop it, and nobody did, I mean, this was not something city council voted on.
Yeah, but that's not her decision to make. If she wanted to cut back and make the bus quit at 2 o'clock instead of 5 o'clock or whatever, Is that her call?
Well, who do you put the blame on?
Well, I put the blame more on city council and the mayor.
Well, the city council did not vote on this. We got to be clear about this whole bus thing. City council never took one vote authorizing this. And a matter of fact, most of them did not know that it was even coming.
Well, it has to be the mayor's fault then. And he could have stopped it a long time ago. I mean, maybe he thinks that if it was paying for itself, fine. But since it's not paying for itself, we could, you know, do without it, you know, right now when we don't have money. And, you know, when they had that doings there for the strongest town, I don't think they had a great turnout. I wonder what they did with the food that was all left. Did they take and donate it to any food pantries or anything like that, or did they all divide it up between them and take home?
I think it was donated, but I'm not exactly sure. But this is the thing, and again, no. Here's the problem. Okay, like last year they did the Christmas bus lights tour and got very defensive when people attacked that because this is a good thing and I'm not going to have you attack something that's very good. Yes, it is a good thing. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's nice that the city did it. But did the city have the money to do that at no cost to the public? And that's what people have looked at throughout. That's why this has not happened in other administrations, because mayors and city councils looked at it and said, I don't think we have the money for that. This administration, for some reason, doesn't do that when it comes to parties and Christmas lights, bus tours, and running the bus 3 extra nights a week. And hiring budget directors and hiring grant writers and hiring economic development directors and doing all these, putting new cameras in at City Hall, they don't seem to...
Well, didn't he wrap his office in...
Oh, bus wrap, stickers,
wrap and stuff too?
Redoing signs all over the city, all
those,
that.
Those birds they have all over the city?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does anybody ever look at the cost?
Well, you would think the mayor would be on top of a lot of that stuff. Especially if city council didn't vote on any of that. How did it come about?
The people that's
running the different departments and stuff, I don't think they made that decision. I think the Christmas lights tour wasn't their decision. You know, that came from the mayor, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think a whole lot of people knew about it.
I mean, maybe they could have put a small fee on it or something to pay for the gas and the time of the driver that, you know, had to run it. But, you know, it's good. It'd be nice if... you know, for the citizens, if we had the money, like you say. You know, we had extra coffers with the money there. I mean, it's nice to do things for the community, but, you know, I'm surprised Colin sent them that letter, really. Aren't you? I figured he'd wait until they come in and stepped in. What do you think?
I don't know.
I think it's good the state's getting, you know, involved. But I tell you, listening to the problems with the federal government, the state government, and the city, it just gets depressing. You know, it's like a never-ending battle.
Well, it's fascinating, that's for sure.
Have you ever talked to Chauver about running for mayor?
You know, I don't know if he's ever thought about it. I don't know. I think he was always concentrated on the third ward.
Well,
Well, if you have him back on again, why don't you pose that question to him? I think he would be a great mayor. I think he would come in and talk to you once a month. He's a Republican, but in the city government, Democrat, Republican don't really matter a whole lot. But, run that by him, I think. What do you think? You think he'd be a good mayor? He knows how things work.
Well, I think it's up to the citizens, I would say, to vote for that.
Well, yeah, but it's up to him to run. We can't force him. We can't put his name on the ballot and elect him and say, well, I didn't want that. I think he could be a good mayor,
Well, maybe, I don't know if he wants to run for mayor or not. Well, Jason, if you're out there listening, people possibly would want you to run for mayor.
Yeah, I don't know. When's that going to be? 26?
When would that be? Yeah, he was elected in 23, took office in 24. Yeah. So the election would
term?
Election it's a 4-year term. So the election
term.
Would be held in 27.
Yeah, so it's not too far. Well, we're getting some rain. Hopefully the wells that we get our water from is getting replenished. Have you heard from Aqua? If things are improving there?
I would hope so. I would hope so.
It sounds like it's going to be raining all day today, so.
Well, that'll be good for the water, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let somebody else go on. You got a couple minutes.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. If you got anything to say, top of the hour is coming up. What an interesting little story this has turned out to be. Well, it is Halloween Eve, I guess that's the way it goes. I don't understand a whole lot of this. Let's take the call and see where we are. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Do you recall when I was questioning the job of development director when they didn't really know if there was enough money for that? I told them how easy it is to spend other people's money. And here we are.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. We're coming up on a break here. We're going to come back after this with hopefully some fun. And things as Halloween is right around the corner. Halloween tomorrow, October 31st. Stay with us here on WGH Talk Radio. Hope you are finding the news interesting. It certainly is something to be discussed. We'll be back right after this.
Listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name?